to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Aviles shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
We welcome you to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse De Leon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Mario Aviles, the ninth bishop of Corpus Christi. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
Good morning, and I'm doing well.
I'm glad that you're here, and we are excited to begin this new chapter with this program. History being made today with you. The massive installation happened back on the 28th of January. Such a profound moment for us. Over 1,600 people gathered over at the Pro-Cathedral, which was Most Precious Blood Church here in Corpus Christi, and several hundred people watching it online. Such a beautiful moment. How did that moment feel for you as it all came together with your brother bishops and priests and the faithful in one place? What were you thinking?
Well, first of all, I'm blessed that we have this opportunity every week to talk about the gospel and to talk to the faithful in Corpus Christi, especially those that, the only way to receive this communication is through this in this way. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad and looking forward for every week to share the gospel and to share news and to communicate and to be in touch. So for everyone that is listening to this, it's a good opportunity to stay in contact with the shepherd, not only your shepherd here on earth, the bishop, but also with the shepherd in heaven. So it's very important and it's very good. And I'm glad we have this way of communication. Yes, the installation was beautiful, seeing all these people coming from across the diocese, and also people that came from the Rio Grande Valley, Diocese of Brownsville, priests, religious, friends that came from Brownsville, my family. So it was like, altogether, the Lord, giving us this opportunity to gather, to give thanks, and to know one more time that the Lord takes care of his people. Because this is what the installation is all about, the Lord providing a new bishop, continue to provide shepherds for his people. It's a proof of his love and care for all of us. So it was a very emotional moment to, enter into the church and see all these people and the music. And that was my feeling and my at that moment, the Lord takes care of his people. It's not because one is better than the other or anything, but the Lord is always taking care of his people. And by me walking into that church and taking the cathedral, the seat, of the bishop, it was the Lord never abandoned his people.
So true, and very, very comforting words to hear that. And of course, all of us can take some hope from your words, knowing that we're always being taken care of. And a journey for you. We'll spend the first segment here talking a little bit about your background. You were born in Mexico City. Tell us a little bit about your family and your upbringing.
Yeah, well, my family was a normal family, right. It was a normal family like all our families. We have the experience in our families is different. I'm sure that our listeners are now, thinking about their families and their experience, and all the experiences are different. But we have to, keep in mind there. Our families are also gifts from the Lord and ways for us to grow and stay close to him, regardless of the experience with your families. Because, some may have, experience that were, harder than others with the family in all senses, financial or situations in the family. But we have to know that we all come from a family. And we can make the best out of our families, and we can make the difference in our families. Families are, there for us to grow, and it's very important. We should never complain about our family, even though there's sometimes situations that are present, but we should never complain about our families. Those are God gifts to us and all that. So yes, my family play an important role, especially in the faith. Of course, mom was the one in charge of making sure that we all did our sacraments, my siblings, and we go to church, and that God was important in our lives. So, you know, I'm thankful for that, for my mother. So I have to say that, my journey in the faith, it was that, you know, I wasn't really never too involved in my parish. You know, I was never an altar server or a member of the choir or of a youth group. You know, I would go to church every Sunday and, you know, for special occasions, Holy Week and Easter and Christmas. But it was not until I was able to know that the church, you know, really cared for me as a young person. And that was when a new priest came into the church, into the parish that I belonged to. And he started talking in the same language. In the same language in the sense that, you know, his homilies, his reflections were simple, you know, were easy to understand. They were short, you know, because right. when you're young, you don't want to spend too much time. So it was when everything started changing. And I was start to have a different, feeling for my fate, you know, and what I was living. So my fate was there. And I think I mentioned this in one of my recent homilies that, I don't believe people lose fate. Because sometimes we can say, well, I'm losing my fate, I lost my fate. I don't think so, because fate stays in your heart, it's still there. And it cannot be taken away, you know. We can hide it, we can deny it, we can not pay attention to it, but the fate is something that it's there present in our hearts. But we need to take care of that fate so we can keep it alive, you know. And my experience with these priests that came into a parish was to rediscover my faith. Then I started going other times other than Sunday, you know, during the week to Mass and participate a little bit more. And I joined the youth group, and that's how everything started, you know, first with my mother, my family, and then with the example of a good, faithful priest.
So the journey continued on, and it had the steps that led you to this point here. Your ordination, you were ordained at the Basilica of Our Lady of San Juan del Valle, the National Shrine there, on the 21st of July, 1988, as a priest. Of course, a proud moment as well, one that set the stage for many things to come. But in addition to your role as a priest, you also embraced the role of an educator as well. I'm sure a lot of people, when you tell them that you are a certified teacher in the state of Texas, and that probably is something that brings even more depth to your ministry and to your vocation. What drew you into the field of education?
Yeah, well, let me go back a little bit, Jesse, before getting to that point. You know, you mentioned my ordination. Before my ordination in 1998, there was a whole journey of the seminary life and my life as a religious. Mm-hmm. You know, as you mentioned, I joined the congregation of the Oratory of St. Philip Neri. It's a congregation that is not well known, mm-hmm. because we're few priests and brothers, but it's a congregation that was founded by St. Philip Neri in 1575, a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And it started in Rome and then, you know, spread throughout the world. And the community that I joined, or the house that I joined, is here in Texas in the city of Far, in the diocese of Brownsville. So this is part of my vocation, not only to the priesthood, but also to this religious community, that I invite everybody to, you know, to know St. Philip Neri, not because he's my founder, but it's a great saint that can teach us a lot. You know, maybe in the future I can share a little bit more about St. Philip, and because at the end the life of the saints are there for us to imitate, and to know that, you know, men and women, children, married people, young people, older people, they can be examples of in our way to heaven. So I joined the oratory, did my novitiate like all in religious communities. The path of my education took me to Rome, Italy, which was a great blessing to be there studying. And I got to meet, and I'm very, very proud of this and, you know, very humble that I got to meet St. John Paul II.
Wow.
when he was Pope. That tells you how old I am. A little old. And but as a seminarian, I served at one of his masses, and I was able to receive communion from St. John Paul II, and you know, talk briefly with him after the mass, and receive the blessing, and that was a wonderful experience. So my years of formation were really blessed, you know, and because of that, those experiences like that. And until the time for my ordination came in 1998, as you mentioned, I came back to Texas after my studies, and I was ordained there at the Basilica of Our Lady of San Juan del Valle, which later, you know, 20 years later, you know, also was ordained a bishop at the same basilica. So pretty much all my adult life and my years after my ordination, I mean, I have spent it there in the Diocese of Brownsville and in the Valley.
It is a beautiful diocese. I'm from Harlingen originally, growing up there and being familiar with the culture and the people. Such a beautiful place. It is always growing and such a pillar of faith. People make pilgrimages to the Basilica there. So it's great to have that connection. And we are happy to be able to have the opportunity to get to know you. We'll continue our conversation here with the Ninth Bishop of Corpus Christi, the Most Reverend Bishop Mario Alberto Aviles. We will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Mario Alberto Aviles, the Ninth Bishop of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. We're in the process of getting to know Bishop Mario, and he was telling us about his time in the Valley and also the journey of his ordination and how it led you here, Bishop. We're so happy that you're here. We welcome you. And some of the things that we spoke about in the first segment, in addition to your vocation, the fact that you have a bachelor's degree in philosophy and also sacred theology, but also a certified teacher in the state of Texas. So tell us a little bit about how you went on those journeys as well.
True. Well, after my ordination, the community of the Oratory, they have a school there in the diocese. That's the work that the fathers do in the diocese other than the parish.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I got involved, you know. So I start working and I'm very, very proud of this. I don't hide this. I started from the, you know, very bottom as a seminarian. You know, I was in charge of the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't cook, so don't think I was just in charge of making sure that the children that they wanted lunch, they were served lunch, and, you know, going through the classrooms and asking, you know, who was going to have orange juice or milk, and, you know, taking the count, and then, you know, going to a nearby cafeteria to get the lunches, then bring it back to the school, distribute it to the classrooms. And so that was my first job at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started doing other things. I was also at the office and, you know, the reception. So at the beginning, since I didn't have my studies, I was, you know, just a seminarian. Those were the type of jobs that I had at the school. Then then as I was able to get my degrees and all that, then I started as a teacher at the school. And then I was also in charge of the discipline. You know, by the time I was in charge of the discipline, the school had also started a high school. So I was in charge of the discipline at the high school level, making sure that all the kids were, you know, doing what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the grace of God, and, you know, I had the opportunity also to serve as a principal. So I continued with my education, and there was a need to serve as a principal of the school. So I stepped up. It was just going to be for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they said, well, just help us, you know, with the principalship for a little bit until we can hire a lay person to be the principal. But, you know, I had my education, everything, and so that little bit were turned into 7 years.
Wow.
So I was principal for 7 years.
Wow.
There at the school from pre-K through 12th grade. And so it was a beautiful experience. That's one of the things that I missed the most It's just, you know, being at the schools.
Mm-hmm.
But the blessing now is that now I'm able to, since I was in Diocese of Brownsville, the latest job that I have in Diocese of Brownsville was the superintendent of the schools.
Wow.
Because we needed one. Again, like when I became principal, mm-hmm. there was a need for a superintendent. And so I step up, and it was for 6 months before I was appointed the Bishop of Corpus mm-hmm. Christi. I also serve as a superintendent of Catholic schools in Diocese of Brownsville. So the Lord, you know, Jesse and you know, for our audience, the Lord always takes care of us, you know, in mysterious ways. You know, because I really miss schools. And when I became a bishop, you know, I knew I was not going to be able to be in the classroom anymore or
right.
anything like that. But then the Lord, you know, gave me that opportunity to, you know, to be the superintendent and working with the schools, not one, but, you know, 10 in the Diocese of Brownsville. And now here in the Diocese of Corpus Christi also, we have several schools and high schools. And so the Lord knows how to take care of ourselves. We just have to trust in Him, you know. Sometimes we can fall into the temptation of thinking, you know, that things don't go too well for us, you know, and that we don't get what we want or what we need. But no, the Lord always finds ways to show us how much He cares for us and how much He loves us. We just have to trust in Him and wait. Sometimes we're too desperate. We want answers immediately.
Right.
You know, we want to pray and get that answer. And this is when we get frustrated, you know, because the Lord knows when and how He's going to respond to our praise. We just have to trust, and He'll be very good to us.
And find that patience, of course. And as an educator, a teacher, someone who is no stranger to teaching the lesson, that really leads us into this week's gospel message. If you would now proclaim that for us, Bishop, and we will do a brief reflection.
Yes, of course. We'll hear the gospel of the Lord and ask Him to give us the light of His Holy Spirit so we can reflect on it. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to His disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp, and they put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. Just so your light must shine before others, and they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A brief but very powerful gospel there. So many things to take away from that. Of course, the image of salt of the earth and what salt is, it obviously is something that helps to preserve things. And it's a call to us to be patient, as you were saying earlier, Bishop, but also in the preservation of our faith, to be persistent, to be diligent in our faith. I think that's one of the first messages that strikes me. What do you think about that?
Yes, I think, you know, this example that the Lord gives, you know, first of all, the message of the gospel, It's very simple and very direct and very strong. It's not too complicated, you know. We just have to listen and be open, you know, for the Lord to talk to us. And when He uses these simple examples, as you are the salt of the earth, you know, but if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? So we all know, we all have had the experience of, you know, having a meal that does not have salt or enough salt,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's horrible. That's terrible. And, or if you, you know, if you have to use that special salt, you know, it's not the same, you know, that salt that is not salt because you have to take care of your health. Even if it looks like salt, even if it pretends to taste like salt, we know it's not salt. you know, and it's different. So this example fits perfectly. Mm-hmm. We all know what this is about, you know, a meal with no salt, you know, even if it's a little, it makes the difference. So we are here on this earth to make the difference. You know, we are here on this earth to be the salt of the earth. If we don't do anything, if we don't do what we're supposed to do and do it right, then it's going to be like this meal without salt. It's going to be horrible. You know, if we just do what everybody else is doing, we are not seasoning this world. And unfortunately, in the world we live in, this is what's happening. You know, everybody is doing the same thing. We're imitating what others are doing. We think that we can get away with things because everybody else is doing. You know, everybody lies, everybody cheats, everybody does these things, everybody does it. So, and we think it's okay, but we are not making the difference in the world. We're not seasoning this world. And as people of faith, you know, as sons and daughters of God, as disciples of Jesus, we are here to make the difference. It's difficult. It's very difficult. When we have to season this world and we have to make the difference in this world, it's not going to be easy. And the Lord said so. He was very direct saying, this is not going to be easy. You know, this is going to cost you persecution and people are going to hate you because of me, mm-hmm. you know. And so it's not an easy thing, but this is something that we must do. We need to be the salt of the air. We need to be the light of the world. You know, this past Sunday, you know, we hear it in the gospel, you know, that we need to be that. We need to be the light for others. You know, on the feast of the presentation of the Lord and on Monday, you know, the feast of the candles, you know, the presentation, that was repeated. Christ is the light that shines over the nations. So we need to be also part of that light. And like we hear in today's gospel, a candle is not set under a table. No, it's set on top of the table so it can illuminate. So we need to make sure that we are that light for the world. And probably, you know, those of you that are listening to us today are saying, well, Bishop, this sounds very nice, you know, that we need to season the world, that we need to make the difference, that we need to be light for others. But practically speaking, you know, how am I going to do this? Because, you know, we cannot just say you have to do this, but, you know, we have to know how to do it. It's very simple. It's very simple. Just even with small things in daily life, we can be that salt of the earth. We can be that light that illuminates things. Just very simple things, being kind to other people, being respectful to other people, a listening ear. You know, sometimes people, they just need to be listened and be heard. So when you listen to a friend, a family member, that they need to talk, they need to vent,
right?
You know, those things can make the difference in this world because you don't see that often, you know. Even simpler things like if you're going into the store, you know, the convenience store, and you hold the door for someone that is behind you, you'll be surprised when we do these little things, people go like, why? You know, why is he holding the door for me?
Right.
You know, why is he saying good morning or good, you know, those little things were making the difference in this world because unfortunately those things are not common. You know, pretty much everybody lives on their own.
Right.
You know, and if I go into the store and I see somebody else coming, I better run so I can get that before.
Right, right.
So when we do these simple things, you know, we can be that salt for the world. We can make the difference because people, when they see these things, people think, you know. And other, those are very simple things, but there may be other things that we can do. You know, for example, we all have in our family someone that nobody wants to talk to. You know, that aunt, that uncle, that cousin that nobody wants to talk to. I always say we all have that aunt that nobody wants to talk to because, but you know, that individual feels it and feels alone and notice that nobody wants to talk to that person. And so even with those things, we can make the difference, you know, by picking up the phone and calling that family member that nobody wants to talk to.
Very simple things to be the light, as you're saying, and to be the salt. Beautiful message, Bishop. Thank you so much for your reflection. If you would end now with a prayer and a blessing.
Yes, definitely. We ask the Lord to help us to be that, to make the difference. So Heavenly Father, we ask you to send the light of your Holy Spirit so we can be true instruments of you to our brothers and sisters, to be that salt on the earth that season this world, to be that light of the world that illuminates everyone and help us to see the little things in life that we can do so we can make the difference in this world. We ask these through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.